Excelsior, and welcome once again, true believers, to Zach and Tavy's marvelous adventure. I am Zach Walliner.
And I'm Tavy Phillips.
And we are going through a journey of the history of the Marvel Cinematic Universe from beginning to try to catch up to as close as we can to where things are in the present, mainly for the sake of Fantastic Four, which is ever approaching when we are recording this, and because of Mr. Pedro Pascal and the one.
Yep. I got to go to Marvel school and learn so I can fully enjoy Mr. Pedro Pascal in the Fantastic Four.
So yes, yeah, so
very soon.
Even now, even if we don't get a single episode out by then, you've already recorded several.
I know. So like, I feel like I'm starting to build a good foundation. And at this point, it's starting to become more like this is just kind of fun now. And
yeah,
I never thought I would admit
that.
You're turning me way too easily. I thought I would have more resistance to this kind of media, but apparently not.
Right now, it's a fun project between two friends. And
yeah.
That our friendship has blossomed through this.
I know. I love this. I'm getting to know you more through these movies. I love talking to you. We have a lot of stuff in common besides this. This is good stuff all around. Very wholesome.
Even if we never released any of this, it's had positive
effects. It's a worthy project.
So, like, you can remember when we were just two strangers sitting at that, what was it?
At a restaurant in Koreatown.
And we never interacted once that night, and look where we are now.
I know. I was like,
I
was sitting next to this guy, and he had a puppet in the bag the whole time, and the puppet never came out. That was my whole experience of you for like 10 years, and then now we're like great friends.
Well, did you come to the karaoke?
No, I left before the karaoke. That's okay. The thing. It was so we're talking inside baseball here, but yeah. Zach and I are both fans of a radio show/podcast, right? Called The Best Show, and Zach, a much more established, longtime fan than I am. I was very new to it back then, but there was a get together for fans of this show one day in New York City where I live, and I happened to be sitting next to him at the table, and I was just like, who's this puppet guy?
So you had no idea of like any of it at that point?
No, I was a brand new listener to the show.
Wow,
and then I started hearing the Wally calls, the Wally Wackerman calls, for listeners who don't know. I would hope you would know who Wally Wackerman is. Zach's alter ego in puppet form. I was like, oh my God, I was sitting next to that puppet. I was a little starstruck.
Yeah, it was a celebrity of sorts.
Yeah. And so anyway, that's a little late in the game, but that's Zach's and my personal history of our friendship. And I just really think it's really gone into next gear.
We were connected in there, and somewhere along the way, we became friends on Facebook through social media and Twitter and all that. And then when the Pedro Pascal thing and the Marvel thing came along, and Tavy knew to reach out to me, and here we are.
I knew. Exactly. I was like, oh, I'm going to have to learn about Marvel now. And you're the first person I thought of. So.
And that touches my heart.
That was history. History was made. And now, so this week, do we still call it the Marvel Cinematic Universe? Is this,
well,
does this
yeah,
count?
It's all... On the topic, I was going to say it all counts, but at the same time, there is debate about how much this counts. I will say, listeners, this episode will be a little different than everything that's come before because we've done several movies now, but what are we doing today, Tavy?
Today we're talking about at least the first two episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes, episodes. It's a television show.
Television show.
So we're diverting in a new direction because I looked at my timeline of release dates that I was compiling to keep track of the order of our episodes, and I said, hey, this TV show came out. We know we mentioned at the end of last episode we would be doing Thor the Dark World this time, but then I was like, oh, actually this came out between Iron Man 3 and Thor 2, so are you up for it? And so we said, okay, we'll tackle a few episodes. And that's what we've done. So we're here to talk Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. today. Now, we'll just jump right in. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., when it starts, there's a little bit of stuff that's a little prologue, but what's the big main event of what happens in the first episode that really matters to the greater MCU?
I mean, to the greater MCU, I don't know. I don't know how much of it. I should say I've only watched two of the episodes so far. And I should also say that I am kind of intrigued and plan to keep going.
Oh, so you are? Okay, I was going to ask.
I think
that,
I am. So. I do think I am because I want
to
know.
We can revisit it then. We could do Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Part 2 or whatever.
We can break in with a few more episodes to keep things lively.
We were going to get there, but I'm glad to know.
So what happened in the first episode? Okay, so I should say my famous bad memory. I should say that I watched the first episode 2 days ago. Okay. And then the second episode last night. So I should have a memory of this, but as we know, I'm not good at this.
What's
met
the big reveal
some characters.
Of the show? What's the big reveal of the show?
I don't know. There's a bunch of agents.
In the greater context, following certain other events that we've seen on the big screen stuff.
I don't know what you have in mind here. I mean, there are some agents. Okay. Do you
mean
the thing that I texted you about?
One particular agent that we're talking about.
You see how quickly I got used to it? I actually messaged Zach and I said, well, I shouldn't talk about this. We should save this for the podcast. But I said, oh my God, Agent Coulson is alive. He's
Yes.
not dead. I was very excited. You're
I was
right.
very
That was
happy to
that's
hear.
so huge. I can't believe I didn't understand that's what you were getting at. Yeah, I was
Sorry.
like, Phil, it's Phil.
Yeah, no, I
You
was thrilled
should have
that she
known.
reached out to me because it's like, okay, great. I'm experiencing something real time because we're watching these things at our
Yeah.
own convenience and we're not watching them together. We're not like,
Right.
okay, here, let's get on the phone and sync up, or we're
Yeah.
not doing a stream like this and having them on and sharing that experience. We just get to it when we get to it and then we meet up and converge and talk about it. But that she felt to
I was
the
really excited. And there's literally nobody else on this earth that I think I could say, hey, Agent Coulson is alive to.
Yeah,
Any
exactly. Why
exact.
would there
So
be?
it was a great moment. I don't know. I like the character. I've liked the character since we first saw him. I liked that I recognized him as S.H.I.E.L.D. before I knew really what S.H.I.E.L.D. was, just from the zeitgeist. And I just think, is it Greg Clark? I think he's an affable
Clark Gregg,
actor.
other way
Clark
around.
Gregg. Oh, whoops, sorry. I think he's affable. I think it's a good character. So I was super excited that he
Good in
was
the
alive.
role.
It
He's
was a
good in
good
the
job.
role. It's a fun character. He's likable. He had to be because he was that first step into the wider universe of connecting that there's a bigger thing going on. And he fit the role well. And he's got that very matter-of-fact way of speaking, but he's also got a bit of a sense of humor. And so in the Avengers film, he's seemingly killed by Loki, and he's the one that they essentially need to avenge. And then you find out Fury
Finally,
planned.
some avenging for these Avengers. We had to give them
Yes.
something to come
So it
together.
was
And
their
we had to
motivation.
know him well enough to feel the loss by the time that moment happened. So they
Right,
did
so
introduce him early enough for us to go, oh, hey, that guy. Yeah, we like that guy.
yeah,
Oh, no, he's dead.
a very minor role, just starting to plant the seeds in Iron Man. Comes back in Iron Man 2. He's kind of babysitting Stark when he's going through some stuff. And then he shows up in Thor and he's there on the ground in New Mexico and he's watching over the site with the hammer. He's interviewing Thor, trying to find out who he is, what his deal is. And he plays a fair role there. And then he's not in Captain America, but then retroactively in the Avengers, you see that he was there when he was being frozen. And there's the jokes about, oh, I was watching you when you were sleeping and all that.
His fanboying out over Captain America, something I enjoyed a lot.
Exactly. So he's well established by the time in the Avengers when we get to know him and see him and he's in action. And then he seemingly tragically dies. But then this show came along, and this show was co-created by Joss Whedon, who directed the Avengers film, and his brother Jed and his brother's wife, Marissa Tancharoen, if I'm pronouncing that right. So the three of them are the executive producers. And so you think with the director of Avengers creating the show, which is essentially a spin-off, that's clearly tied directly to it and it's canon and stuff. But I recently was trying to look back on this as we were preparing for this episode and watching these shows. Someone online, I think on Reddit, referred to Coulson as Schrodinger's cat because it's like he's alive and dead at the same point. Not to spoil anything, I don't think it takes away from anything you'll watch in the future. The Avengers never find out that he's alive.
I was wondering that. I was like, does he come back to the movies? And I'm thinking maybe he doesn't. Maybe they
He
need
never
that,
does.
him to be dead
They
for
never
the.
appear here. There are a few character cameos, one of which we did. Well, a few we saw in the first two episodes, but never any of the heavy hitters, never any of the main members of the
Sure.
team.
And they get mentioned by name. They're definitely a part of the world. They're just not going to show up
Yeah, there are
ever
always the
in the show.
references, and you get that witty banter that has that kind of Whedon vibe. Lots of little one-liners here and there. But for all intents and purposes, this show and the films could potentially take place in totally separate worlds. And with comic books, that's a thing. We are in real time in the midst of the Multiverse Saga, which is a collection of projects, films, and shows that relate to the concept of a multiverse. And for anyone who doesn't know that, it's that there are infinite possible universes out there where different things happen differently. So in the show, that world where Coulson's alive and well, and with this team of agents, could be a very similar world to the one on the big screen,
Oh, I see. It
but
might be just
just so
another
different.
part of a variation in a different universe in the
Right,
multiverse,
so it could be one
which.
that's very much the same as the one that's in the theatrical releases, but just a little different, where in there, he's dead. He died and he gave the Avengers a reason to assemble. But
I
in
can
the
see how that,
show, this has several seasons and all sorts of stuff happens, but never the twain shall meet.
I can see how that could provide a lot of freedom for television writers. They don't have to be completely in step with whatever future movies are being planned or whatever's going on in the movies, because they have this sort of out that, it's the multiverse. We can have a little wiggle room there with the storytelling. I don't know if that plays out, but I can see the possibilities there.
Right, but I don't think it was the intention to be a separate universe, because when these shows started, the whole idea was they're part of this bigger thing that they've created that's meant to be all interconnected.
Sure.
So it was kind of treated that way. Yet with the early TV stuff, references and things were basically a one-way street. So here you're going to hear these characters refer to Iron Man and Captain America and Thor, etc.
Mm-hmm.
The movies are never once going to mention Agent Melinda May, you know?
Right.
That's it. And that holds true for some other shows down the line. They had a collection of shows that were on different networks or streaming services in the early days, because really things were run by different branches of Marvel. So the films are all under Kevin Feige. That's Marvel Studios. But if you see in the credits of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., it says ABC Studios, and it's part of Marvel Television.
Right.
Marvel Television and Marvel Studios are two different branches, and there may have been some working together, but sometimes it felt like one head didn't know what the other was doing or didn't care.
Sure.
Only eventually they kind of broke up Marvel Television and put everything under the Marvel Studios banner, and that's the Disney Plus era. So when we got WandaVision, Loki, Hawkeye, those first handful of Disney Plus Marvel shows, that's all under the same purview, and those are strictly intended as being all part of that same cohesive universe.
Interesting.
Before that, all these other previous shows, there was wiggle room, and there's been a lot of debate. I got into arguments on Twitter about some of these things. That was mainly in relation to some of these Netflix shows that will be down the line. But
there are Netflix shows? I didn't even know there are Oh, wait, is this like Jessica Jones? Is that one of them?
The street level heroes of New York City.
Sure.
It was Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, Iron Fist, and then they had their own team up crossover called The Defenders.
There are so many shows. Oh, no. What am I getting into?
Look, it'll give us plenty of
We can pick and choose. Content. I want to watch the Oscar Isaac one. When are we getting to that one? Because
him. That's Harry's. That's Moon Knight. That's further down the road, because that is one of the Disney Plus Marvel Studios one. We'll get there. But yeah, let's get back to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Now,
sure. Now, I have a question before we get into it.
Sure.
Or maybe this is part of us getting into it. Not being a comics reader, I was wondering how many of these characters that we're meeting all of these agents and people, how many of them existed before this show? Only the ones that we have seen before? Only Phil and cameos to be revealed later? Or
Phil,
did any of these characters exist before the show?
I don't know if Phil even did at this point, because he was retroactively added. Phil was not originally a Marvel Comics creator. He was created first in the Iron Man film. They later on added him as, he's Nick Fury's buddy that we never heard of before. And I believe they did later on introduce maybe the other core cast members into main Marvel continuity in the comics. I don't know the exact specifics of how many or who or when, but all of these were original characters.
Okay. There's a real chicken and the egg thing going on here when I'm watching this stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know what originated in a comic and what didn't.
Yeah, these are the questions that I'm here to answer.
That's right. Thank you, teacher.
Some of those cameos, those are the only ones who predate it.
Got it.
As I mentioned, this episode is going to be different. Not just that it's TV, but a few other factors. For instance, in the first two episodes, we will not once spot the Stan. He does not show up in the first two episodes.
I was saying, I guess there won't be any Stan spotting because this is a TV show. Does this mean he might show up later?
I don't know what I should say now.
He just smiles gently into the screen.
Maybe I already did say.
I think that gives it away. Well, that's good. That gives me something to look forward to then.
So if you want to stick with it, it'll be a little bit from now. It's in the first season. It does happen, but it would see how long you want to stick with this if you'll get there.
Okay. We'll let that unfold if I keep going.
Mm-hmm. I also have no trading card trivia for this.
I was going to say, I know there's going to be a shorter episode because we don't have cards.
It's not covered.
I'd be very surprised if the British movie cards that you were reading off of had anything about the TV show.
Right. And Penny was only half watching some of this.
She was
not especially
completely out of the box episode. No Penny's Corner.
She was not especially interested. She just did not really care. Maybe for future TV things, she will, if I can get her involved. But she's like, no, I think I just want to do movies. So
that's fair enough.
We'll see if
she's
sticks
her own
with that.
Woman. She gets to make that decision.
Or maybe future TV shows will be a little more enticing. I could see why she wouldn't be so interested. She was watching some of it, but some of it she was just like, you know, I'd rather play a game. So
it's her prerogative, I say.
So some of our standard segments are not in play. So we'll just have a discussion and see where the flow goes.
Right.
My notes are less than usual, too, because...
Me too. I just started watching the show, really, and I didn't pause it quite as much. But I made a few notes here and there. Like with cameos, we start with who I was calling. Who was I calling? Agent Underling, I called her. That was my
Okay.
nickname for her.
I
But
forgot
that's
you had a nickname for her.
Colby Smulders playing agent. Oh, I want to say Hill.
Yep.
Is that Hill?
Do you
There you
remember the
go. So,
first name though?
no, I don't.
Maria Hill.
Maria. Okay, Maria Hill. Yeah, I don't remember even ever hearing Maria. Have they said Maria before now?
That's a good point. I
Possibly.
don't know if she was referred by her first name yet.
I
I
know that
know
they
from the
said Agent
comics.
Hill. Yeah. So she was there. Of course, our friend Phil, which I was so excited, was there. We're on a first name basis now, me and Phil. Agent Coulson. But it starts with people I've never seen before. And a little story just starts. We start right away with a man and looks like his son, young
Yes.
gun.
So I wrote here, and my first note is about we see this storefront window and we see action figures of the Avengers. The little son is looking at them. So it shows they've been merchandised in this world where they actually exist as people.
Right.
I don't know who controls the rights of that sort of thing. Maybe Tony Stark, I guess. Maybe he's the one
Oh,
doing
that makes sense. I mean, I'm sure he's got industry, so there's got to be some kind of toy arm of Stark Industries that is doing this kind of merchandising. And it fits in well with what we saw in Captain America, where Captain America
Well, yeah, the
was
comic
marketed in the
stuff.
40s when there was a comic in
Sure.
universe, so that works.
True, true. And I was just pointing out that I recognize those figures because I have some of them. They're
Oh, those are real. That's
Marvel
great.
Legends, which is the line that I collect the most of. I've got like over 600 Marvel Legends
Whoa.
figures taking up a huge chunk of my basement storage room.
Wow.
I've collected lots of
Amazing.
other action figure lines, but that one I had the most of. It started in 2002, that line. I joined in collecting it a few years later, where my big entry point into Marvel was always the X-Men in the early 90s, the X-Men cartoon on Fox on Saturday mornings, and then that was the gateway into more, and I got into the comics, and then I got into other comics and
Did
expanded
it
what
start
I've
with
been.
the cartoon? Is that how you first discovered
It
it,
may
or?
have been that cartoon, or maybe I had a handful of X-Men comics too, but it was definitely somewhere around that era. And so when Legends came out, they started the first wave was Captain America, Iron Man, Hulk, and actually an X-Men character, a villain called Toad, which is odd for a first wave to toss him in there with those heavy hitters of superheroes. But I guess they had been planning on making an action figure line specifically for X-Men, but then it didn't get produced or something, but they had the mold for Toad lying around, so they tossed him in there with those other three A-list
Lucky
comic
Toad.
characters. But then a few waves in, I was like, okay, I was really into this one specific era of the X-Men, and it was kind of based also the cartoon was based around this. I always call it Jim Lee's X-Men. Jim Lee was this really prolific artist. He had this amazing they relaunched X-Men.
Any relation to Stan?
No,
I have to ask.
no, I always kind of joke that he's his uncle, but he's Korean. Didn't quite work that way. But now he's like a big wig at DC. He's working for DC. He's the chief creative officer. I actually got to meet him at a convention last year and express how much his work meant to me. And it was really
Oh,
great.
nice.
Yeah. And it was very cool. And he was very gracious about it.
I can't overstate the importance of, you know, your work on the early X-Men. It's influential, monumental in my entire fandom, like not of the X-Men only, but then the greater Marvel, you know. Got into this, and then the 92 cartoon that took your, you know, costumes
Sure,
and stuff, and now I've got like over 600 Marvel Legends action figures, and I got it to originally just get the Jim Lee team. Now I remember, you know, team completion's big,
right.
And then I remember like, when is Hasbro gonna make the Jim Lee Jean Grey? Because that's just how we refer to it,
Right,
because you made your mark
yeah,
so
she never
much.
had a I couldn't figure
Yeah,
out a
she
name.
wasn't Phoenix, she wasn't Marvel Girl, she was Jim Grey, and Jean Grey, and the easiest way to refer to that costume, Jim Lee Jean Grey, and this is Jim Lee Cyclops. So, I mean, just, you know, I can't thank you enough. You know, it just means so much. It's so incredible, and you know, I'm so glad I got this chance. It's once in a lifetime. So, thank you so much. I really appreciate this.
Well, thank you very much. That was very kind of you.
Well, it's just true. You know,
I feel like I'm very honored.
Good. I'm glad.
Look, it was a bunch of. Look, I was drawing the stuff I loved, and to have it sort of expand beyond the pages of the comics into media and basically
Yeah,
reach a
I mean,
wider audience.
without,
Thirty
you
years
can,
later is
you know, you could
pretty
trace the
incredible.
trail back to your work, you know, because then the cartoon, and then there was the X-Men movies, and then the MCU, and it all traces back. So, I mean,
it's crazy.
it's talents like yours that gave us all this. So, you know, again, can't thank you enough.
Well, thank you.
And, you know, congratulations on all your success.
Well,
You
thank
know,
you
I know
very
you're
much.
working for the other guys now, but you're at the top of the food chain, so.
Hey, I'm going to be at Baltimore Comic Con next, and then New York Comic Con. You should come to every show and do this.
I'll see if I can.
It would mean a lot to me.
Ego.
It would mean a lot to me.
Hey, if I could,
thank
I will.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, man.
I appreciate it.
Enjoy the rest of the time. All right.
Thank you. All
right. Nice seeing you.
Bye. Bye.
So his run and his art was so influential because they relaunched X-Men in 1991 with a new number one. And it was this new big start for them. And he was the artist on it. And then the cartoon took a cue from that in their lineup. So when I first saw an entry point into collecting these Marvel Legends, I was like, okay, I'm going to get that lineup of X-Men. I'm going to get their core Rogues Gallery, and that'll be that. So the first few I bought was, I think, from one or two early waves where it was Beast and Colossus as far as the good guys, and then Sabretooth as far as the villains. So then I just wanted to build up and get the full blue and gold teams, they were called, of the early 90s, and their key villains. And here I am 600 something later. I just expanded. Well, okay, now the Avengers I got to get, and then let me get Spider-Man, then I got to get his villains. I've gotten so many.
Real entry drug, that Toad. Wait, did you have Toad?
No, I didn't start with Toad. I got him down the road later, probably off eBay or something. But there's just, you always, and then, okay, well, now they're making this team. Oh, they still haven't completed the team, and you're waiting, wait. And it took years, actually, to complete that basic X-Men team, because Jean Grey, they didn't make for years and years and years in her costume of that. And then I finally got it finished, that lineup, and I took a picture on my shelf. And then they re-released new versions of those characters.
Of course,
well, now this, and they're the same costumes, not just like, okay, here it is in a different costume. It was originally made by this company called Toy Biz. Then Hasbro got the rights in the late 2000s. Then they're starting fresh with it, and they are remaking characters that have already been made before. So you're buying them for a second and third time. So basically, everybody from that full completed team I had, I've gotten again, because now the old ones don't quite look right with the new ones. And
they have to match.
Yeah, exactly. So, and that, and so
you know,
many.
I think my parents probably steered me away from collecting figurines as a child. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was into like She-Ra and He-Man because I'm okay. Old as hell, but I had a few. But I'm just thinking about how my husband was a collector of Star Wars and Star Trek stuff, and he had massive bins full of them and would be like, oh, now Princess Leia's hair is down. We need that one. Now Princess Leia's hair is in like on a side body, so we need that. And I'm sure that one wasn't real, but every little variation, they crook the finger differently. That's another one you got to buy.
Yeah, no,
I
was born in 82 and my older brother was born in 80. So we were into those early Kenner vintage Star Wars.
Right.
My favorite was the Max Rebo band from Jabba's Palace. And I remember having those as a kid, fond memories. And down the road, maybe when I was in high school, I got a vintage set on eBay and I had them again. I still have them. They're in my basement. But in the mid 90s, they started a new wave of making Star Wars figures at that same scale. And then I got tons of those. I used to have a diorama of Jabba's Palace in my old teenage bedroom. So
I was
plenty into Star Wars. Then Star Wars, in more recent years, they started making a 6-inch figure line, which is what Marvel Legends is. And so I got some, but I'm like, I can't go down that rabbit hole. I collected so many of the three and three.
You have to make a choice.
And they're like $20 each. So I got the core heroes from the first Star Wars film, and then I got Darth Vader, and then I got the lineup of bounty hunters from Empire Strikes Back. But I'm like, I cannot do
yep.
this all over
it's
again.
Good to be able to have that restraint and say, you know what, there's only so much space that I have. It's like me, I had to stop buying physical books, and now I only buy really special ones, and everything else is an ebook because I don't have any more room.
I hear you.
There's
you know,
only so much room.
I remember when I stopped buying physical comics because of space and also money, but then I bought digital, but digital didn't even cost any less. I'm like, I'm not buying
I
the
know.
Physical. I don't have the physical product in my hands. It should be a little discount, but no.
That's how they get you.
And now I haven't been reading new up-to-date comics forever. I have a subscription on a Marvel app where you can look at the back catalog, but you're like 6 months behind if you wanted to stay current.
Not too bad.
Tying it back into what we're supposed to be talking about. Rather than these
get us back
things.
On track. Well, did they make any figurines from the show? Do you know? I'm well, sure you know. Who am I asking? Yeah, you know.
There's been a Coulson and a Maria Hill,
okay.
But I don't think they've ever touched the other rest of the cast. Maybe there was not enough demand. But I was going to say, I have a subscription to this thing called Marvel Unlimited, and I read it every night before bed, just before I fall asleep. And typically, what I'm reading is, I'll see a movie or a TV show in the MCU, and I'm like, let me go deeper into that character, and I'll start a run on that. So then I shift, and I can pick and choose whatever.
That's
but
nice.
It's often been influenced by what's out in the big production. I'm like, okay, well, let me read about
it. You have a real dimensionality available to you here.
Yeah.
You can watch things in that media and then immerse yourself in the comic book history of it. I can see how that could be very addictive after.
So yeah,
after
I think for people who are new, it would be a great way to dive in. I don't know how much conversion there is, though, from people who just see the movies and then want to read the history. But anyways, back to the show. So I was saying, I saw those figures and I recognize them. I have some of them. But when you look over at Black Widow, She is a comic book Black Widow figure. They didn't have the ScarJo one made yet, I guess, by the time it needed. So if you look carefully, she's just a comic book likeness. She's not Scarlett Johansson. They have since made multiple Scarlett Johansson Black Widow action figures.
I'm sure.
I guess they didn't have one in time.
They didn't have it back then.
I happened to
pick that up. What year was this? 2013?
I believe so.
Okay.
But yeah, so like you mentioned, there's that whole scene with the father and son, and then there's a fire, and the father starts just getting action. He starts grabbing a brick wall, and he's making like...
He just climbs up a building!
And holds.
That's crazy!
And as he climbs up, because he's just like, I gotta be a hero, so clearly...
Look at this guy!
He's got something going on. We're like, well, this is a powered guy.
They're among us. They are among us. This is what this world is telling us right off the bat. There are crazy superheroes just running around.
Yeah, so there's others, not established that we know of yet in the movie, and I think people were speculating, who is he supposed to be? Is he this one? Is he that one? And you learn more as you watch the show about who he ends up being.
And he has a stalker, we see right away, this computer girl.
Right.
We learn later.
There's narration. We hear her narration and talking about the rising tide and that sky. And she's in her van and she's a hacker and she's following him because she's kind of interested in these super people that are popping up.
Yeah.
And then we do get to meet another agent. We see Agent Ward, and he's out and about on a mission. And we see some of the cool tech that S.H.I.E.L.D. has access to. He's got something where he gets a guy's glass and he rubs it against the little sort of doily thing or whatever on the battery he's holding, and it gets the fingerprints off it, and it can... He's got some.
Oh, yeah, that was cool.
The
and then I wrote down Chitauri Neuralink, and I don't remember why. Where was there a Chitauri Neuralink?
I forget where the Chitauri stuff popped up here, but I just remember, so he's showing this cool tech and he uses the thing and he lines it up and he gets access to a thing with a fingerprint scanner, and it just happened to perfectly align in the shape of a hand, I guess, on that doily thing. And he opens it up, but then he looks in the room and there's a woman there. She's standing in her underwear and a robe,
right.
But she doesn't shriek or anything. She doesn't even react. She seems totally unfazed, and she just goes about her business, and there's people fighting and stuff and he's breaking into this vault.
That's quite a scene.
That's where we're introduced to Agent Ward and see him as like an action hero kind of guy.
Right. Super competent action dude, Agent Ward.
And I guess going by my notes, then we lead into where he's having a meeting, I guess a debrief, and they're asking him some questions, like what he knows about S.H.I.E.L.D. and this and that. And I wrote down one of these one lines. This kind of calls back to something we discussed, I think, on the Iron Man episode when we first hear Phil say the whole long name. And I was doing one of my little nitpicks, like, we're working on it. And it's like... Oh, clearly that was intentionally done to be S.H.I.E.L.D. And here they actually call it out. It says, someone really wanted our initials to spell out S.H.I.E.L.D.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's another one of those moments where they figure they call it out and it's a little joke.
They hung a lampshade on it.
Yeah. There's another one. I literally wrote that down, that it's a lampshade moment. It's soon after that. Well, another thing I mentioned that they call out again, it's something where they're hammering on this, which we discussed in that episode. I don't think Thor is technically a god. They got to throw that out again.
They're
technologically advanced aliens, but we're treated as gods, so they got to throw that in again. But then they ask him about Coulson, and he's like, look, I'm level 6. I know Coulson was killed in the battle in New York fighting Loki or whatever. And then we see from the shadows
Coulson. He goes, oh, sorry, I meant to have the light on over here. Yeah, like he's making fun of it.
He says, welcome to level 7. And he pops out of the shadows, and then he explains it, basically, like, oh, I just really wanted to do that or whatever. So, because I was ready to write down, like, how long was he standing there waiting for a moment to pop out? But then they literally take care of it by saying, like, hey, he's being goofy. Like, yeah, I really was waiting to do that. So, again, the lampshading going on.
I wrote in all caps, oh my God, it's Agent Coulson. 5 exclamation points.
Well, there you go. That was a worthwhile.
Very important moment.
Thing.
And then I wrote, who's rising tide? ? But it becomes apparent as the episodes go on. Sort of. I still don't really know who, but I get the idea.
I wrote down, my next note is rising tide is the big threat. And I don't think we ever fully get, but I guess Sky is a part of it.
Right.
People doing her hacking thing and following, and that's something she's tied to. I have a note about highest marks since Romanoff. I think that's in relation to Ward still.
Yeah, I think so.
So that's another one of these little throwaway references.
Tying us back into the main folks that we know.
That's Black Widow, Natasha Romanoff, and it says, oh, well, if someone's almost as good as her, that must mean they're really good. And as dialogue continues, all the snappy banter and things, we hear people talking to Coulson and asking about how he's doing, because last time we saw him, he died. So they're talking about what happened to him. How did he get past that? And he talks about, do you want to say what he brings up?
Is this about Tahiti?
There you go. Yes, he always mentions Tahiti. He makes it seem like they patched him up and they got him taken care of, and then he recuperated in Tahiti.
Right.
And when Tahiti gets mentioned, what does he say?
I don't know. I wrote down, it seems like Phil didn't actually go to Tahiti, question mark.
Well, that's a good observation.
But no, I don't remember what they said.
So he talks about Tahiti, and you're right to question that. Did he really go to Tahiti? You can't remember at all what he says about Tahiti?
I know.
He says it a few times over the course of the two episodes.
You're going to have to tell me.
It's a magic.
I don't remember. Oh, it's a magical place.
It's a magical place.
That's right. He does say that. Okay. He did say that a few times. Well, that's how my memory works, Zach.
Yeah. Did not that at all make you kind of tilt your head and wonder why?
It felt a little bit strange, but was it? I don't think it was.
It's not yet. It's not.
Episodes.
It's not.
Is that going to come up
later? If you stick around with it.
Okay. That's one of the things revealed. I want to know.
I just wanted to know.
There definitely was
reaction.
A seed of doubt I had about Tahiti.
Right.
Just something. Something about Tahiti didn't seem quite right.
And then I think in the second episode, they even kind of address, is it Agent May who's talking to a doctor scientist?
And he's like, and they say he can't know?
Or he really doesn't know, does he? Something like that.
Right. Maybe so, that's why I said, maybe he didn't go to Tahiti.
Yeah, we start seeing inklings of that. As we mentioned, we see Sky, the hacker. She approaches the hero. I think his name is Mike. I think we've maybe learned.
Mike Peterson, hooded hero.
Yes. Yeah, so she's trying to kind of talk to him. I know what you did, and trying to get to work with him. So that's her whole deal. And then little by little, we meet the rest of the team. We see Ming-Na Wen.
Yeah, that's great. I love her.
As we've mentioned, Agent Melinda.
She's kind of a name.
Yeah, that's Mulan herself.
That's Mulan herself, and she's been in a bunch of stuff. Real kick-ass action hero type here, but reluctant action hero type here, which is
interesting. Right, we could talk.
Interesting.
We don't need to do everything chronologically. In the second episode, Ward kind of refers to her as the Cavalry.
The Cavalry. And then people freak out when they hear she's the Cavalry. So this
is like, really? And she's all like, percentage. Don't call me that. She's really against being referred to as such.
Right. I hope there's an episode.
She's got a reputation there herself.
I want to know more about the Cavalry, so
I imagine
only hope they're planting seeds for things.
Possibly. My memory of this show is foggy at best. It's been a long time, and I only maybe watched two or three seasons before kind of trailing off, losing interest.
There's a lot of seasons, I think.
Yeah, I didn't stick with it. And as I mentioned about people's debates about whether it's canon or not to the mainline Marvel Universe, at a certain point, I feel like it's hard to reconcile certain events from my understanding of what's going on in the big box office movies versus what goes on the shows. So that was another thing. That was my understanding.
The shape of this team that we're starting to meet felt very familiar to me as somebody who's watched Joss Whedon shows before.
Oh, yeah.
So you have your science nerds, Fitz and Simmons, your sort of geeky, really attractive, geeky, lovable.
Yes, exactly.
Not
geeky,
the biggest fighter. Really cute.
They're
not
geeky,
the
but they're also conventionally attractive.
Exactly. And then there's the beautiful girl who's with a real smart mouth kind of a thing, that our friend's guy and her tough girl act. All of this is very Joss Whedon feeling to me. And then there's older, more established people on the team too, like your Melinda May and your Phil and all that. And of course, I think we saw Ron Glass at some point show up as the S.H.I.E.L.D. person. And I don't know if you've watched much Joss Whedon
stuff. Well, who was that? Refresh my memory.
That is the older black guy with the white hair, and I think he had a beard in this. I think it was a real short scene. I think he was one of the scientists.
Was he the one who's all, does he not know? The guy who's talking to May about Phil, like,
I can't remember who had that conversation.
That description seems to match who the doctor was.
I think that's who that was then. I think he was a doctor, but he was a character in a Joss Whedon show I love called Firefly.
Okay, yeah, I've heard about that. I've never seen it. I know the fandom is pretty big.
It's a great show. And gone too soon. So Ron Glass was one of the characters in that. So I was happy to see him from the sort of Whedonverse Stock Players Association show up. So just to say that this sort of geeky team, and some of them are really good fighters and some of them are really good at science, this felt very Buffy, very familiar. Everybody's got a role to play. The teams come together and don't quite trust each other yet, that sort of thing.
Well, but some clearly have some more history with each other.
Sure.
So Fitzsimmons, they literally call them by one name, Fitzsimmons.
Right.
One's Fitz and one's Simmons. And
yeah, that was fun.
They're a little
S.H.I.E.L.D. science nerds, I wrote. And then I wrote centipede question mark. Why did I write that?
Device
implanted into subjects by the doctor doing something with their blood to make them superheroes, question mark.
Yeah, so we find, as we see more about these people, I guess it was the thing that led to the fire that the guy rescued the one woman from. It was an explosion, and they have their little tech. You see, Simmons is the guy, I think, right?
I think. I I forgot. They're totally interchangeable.
Exactly.
And that's okay. We'll let that be. Fitz or Simmons, we'll say. But the guy won.
He sort of launches out these little drones and he starts singing or humming Hi Ho from Snow White. And then you see that they're each named after.
They're named a dwarf. After the dwarves. I liked that quite a lot.
So they're scanning things. Then one thing can recreate the whole scene, or they found video footage that they were able to put together and recreate. And they see, I guess, a scientist and another test subject. And then he leads to explosion. So again, they're tying in things that we've established in the other films. So it's people trying to make superheroes in light of these superheroes becoming a big thing. So
yeah, they even say, they call it out. They say, this has got everything you could throw at it to make a superhero. It's got gamma radiation. It's got serum. Dr. Erskine, they say.
Oh, good. So
I was picking up on references. I was like, oh, I've heard of that. Oh, I've heard of that.
I was about to mention these things, but you're all over. Yeah, they were trying to recreate the super soldier serum from Dr. Erskine.
Yep.
They have gamma radiation there, as we know that was the Hulk. Then Extremis, which we just saw.
Extremis, of course. Yeah.
So yeah, they were making a whole cocktail. And I guess maybe the tech was sort of based on the Chitauri tech, if that's where you heard that one thing.
Maybe that's it.
But so that's what the kind of plot of these first few episodes is, this whole centipede thing where it's this tech with stuff inside it that's pumping in the blood of the guys.
Right.
And we see Mike, he's part of that, and he's trying to just do the right thing and be good, but because of that, he's kind of put a target on his back.
Right.
And then it's also highly volatile, because even as we saw in Iron Man 3, the Extremis people, with just Extremis, they're blowing up.
Yeah, he's like a human bomb. It's a very dangerous situation. They really do a good job of painting him as a sympathetic character. He's got a kid who was laid off from his factory job. He's just trying to make a living. He's trying to save people. They're doing all this. They're really building him up, and then it kind of turns.
Yeah, when he confronts the boss at the factory, that guy I know I've seen in stuff. I don't know his name offhand, but that's a character actor you see in things.
Yeah, he was familiar. Don't know who he is.
Yeah, I should have probably.
We did our homework, but not all of our homework.
Not all. Wrote a few more quotes down. Excited to be coming on our journey into mystery, someone asks. I don't know if that was Sky who says it, but again, that's the comic that Thor first appeared in, where we see it on a billboard in New Mexico in Thor, but now someone actually says it out loud. Speaking of New Mexico, they're talking about S.H.I.E.L.D. and what S.H.I.E.L.D.'s whole deal is. And someone says, S.H.I.E.L.D. covered up New Mexico, Project Pegasus. I don't think we've heard anything about Project Pegasus up to this point. I think it might factor in at some points. I can't remember. It's a thing from the comics, and they're throwing in a reference for the nerds.
Okay.
But I don't think it's anything that's...
I'm sure I glossed over it because it wasn't familiar.
Played a part, yeah.
I had no idea what they were saying.
And in things we do get to see, we get to see Lola, which is Coulson's car that he's all proud of.
Oh, yes. The car, the hover car. It was very Back to the Future 2. We don't need roads. That was fun. He really loves that car.
Because S.H.I.E.L.D. had flying cars in the comics. And I think you could see this is maybe what became of, do you remember, in Captain America at the Expo, young Howard Stark was trying to get this sort of invention off the ground. Literally and figuratively.
That's a good callback. I didn't make that connection, but I remember that scene.
So it kind of shows he finally got the tech all worked out, and they applied that in S.H.I.E.L.D. and they got the flying car to take off. Literally.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
So he's all happy with Lola.
And they make more, there's more business about Lola in the second episode too, where he's bantering with a character, Camilla Reyes, right?
Oh, right. Yes.
And she's making fun of him, his car a little bit. Your red Corvette?
So
that was Lola.
And I know we're bouncing. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, they shoot Mike to jump ahead, but Mike's okay. Did I make that up? I wrote that down.
Oh, that, yeah.
But Mike's okay.
Toward the end. Was that toward the end of the first episode?
Yes.
There's a big showdown.
Union Station, right?
And I think Coulson's trying to talk him down or something, but I don't know. I was confused as things were happening then, because it's like, who gave the order to shoot? And the fact that he gets shot in the head, but then he's fine. Everyone's all relieved when he's shot.
It was a very confusing moment, and I don't think it was good storytelling, honestly.
Yeah.
Because you were like, didn't they say there was a third element? And I thought, oh, the third element, somebody else that's not S.H.I.E.L.D. and not Rising Tyra shot him. But no, I guess it was just them, and they didn't really shoot him. They just sort of knocked him out.
Yeah,
but
I don't remember.
Because really
then they show everyone's all relieved, not like, oh,
yeah,
no.
Yeah, they're all smiling.
Like,
at each
oh,
other.
Yeah, mission accomplished. And Ward, he has some sort of futuristic looking gun. So I guess it was some sort of shot
that was like,
sort of put him down without killing him. I don't know.
You got to give us a little exposition, guys. We're all just supposed to accept whatever just happened there. I found that scene confusing as well.
Yeah.
But we accepted it and we moved on.
Yeah.
As we have to sometimes.
I know we're bouncing around chronologic, but I just saw, we didn't mention Skye is in her van talking about how she's all hot stuff with the packing, and then someone just opens up, and they kind of
they're like, hello.
She gets dragged into the whole thing, and they're kind of recruiting her, and she's taking everything in. And when they're interrogating her at one point, Coulson takes out this high-powered truth serum, but then he injects it into Ward.
That was a fun move.
What was the injection there? What was the intention there? But then you see how it plays out. And I was just thinking to myself when that happened. He does it through his clothing. And I always see that in TV and movies and stuff. And I always feel that would be strange because our particles of the clothes, like, are...
How you're supposed to give people injections.
But even if it still works, it just feels odd to go through because then I know it's microscopic, but wouldn't...
You're shooting little bits of cotton or whatever into your bloodstream.
Wouldn't jacket and shirt get in the bloodstream? Not that a tiny bit would matter, but it just feels odd when I see that it goes through clothing.
It's weird, but you know what? On Star Trek, at least Next Generation and after, whenever they want to inject somebody, they just hold this little device up to their, and then it makes a little puff sound of air just in front of their arm. Like, it's not even touching the clothing. So I have to think, maybe we're supposed to think, oh, there's some weird injection technology that we haven't been privy to.
Yeah.
We'll excuse it.
This is funny. This, I guess, my wife has a great memory, and I didn't remember that she even watched any of this with me, but I guess she did at least for a little bit, because she remembered when they're in, it wasn't Grand Central they were supposed to be in, was it?
Union Station, I thought, in LA. Okay.
And they're on the run. I guess Sky is with Mike.
Right.
And
he sort of kidnaps her.
Yeah, and she wants like a distraction. She kicks some guy in the crotch, and you're like, oh, you're right. He is a little B word.
That's right.
And then it causes a fight, and then she kind of scuttles away.
That was a slick move.
That moment, my wife remembered.
Do you remember that? From maybe whenever... she was filing it away for, you know,
podcast usage online.
You never know.
12 years later.
Maybe so.
So
yeah, that was a good move. You really get this whole sort of street smart vibe from Sky as a character. Mm-hmm. And we don't know what her history is, but we know that she's street smart. She's real smart hacker, and she knows it. And yeah, kind of cocky.
Right. She's very one-liner, snappy.
Snappy one-liner gal.
Yeah. So yeah,
it
very
was almost
good.
It was a little too like, okay, we get it. You're very clever.
Dial it back.
Enough, calm down.
And last thing I have on the first episode is that someone, I'm guessing it was Coulson, says, it's a brave new world. And I'm like, oh, that's the subtitle of Captain America 4, many years in the future. Interesting. So going on to the second episode, I think the time, it's not quite linear. We start at one point and then we flash back to how we got there and we kind of catch up, but they're in their big plane.
Right. It starts with them Phil is holding on to the edge of a plane. The plane has a big hole in it.
Yeah.
They're like, whoa. It felt very like, freeze frame. I bet you're wondering how I got into this
situation. So you hear on the comms, they're like shield 616 or 616. I forget how they said it, but they're reaching out, and that's the designation. 616 is the designation of the mainline Marvel comic universe that was created at some point, and then that's what it is. And then any alternate realities that have been done in comic series, they've been given different numerical.
Okay, so they all have their own little code.
And at a point, we get to that within these films and shows, and there was even a debate, because before it was really fully officially addressed in the movies and whatever, it was given a different designation for comics that took place within the MCU. So there have been little comics that fill in gaps that are not in the TV shows and movies, and they came up with a numerical designation for that. But then eventually in the films, they established that the mainline Marvel Cinematic Universe is also 616. So that seems to contradict if you consider it all part of the same
multiverse.
So that the comics are here and they're 616. So how is this 616? And there's been an argument.
Did they mention 616?
No. Well, I'm saying in this episode, it's just the designation of the plane.
Oh, okay.
So that's just like an Easter egg at this point. But down the road, they say that we are in universe 616. But that's the comic universe. So nerds argue. And even this girl who gets cast as a main role in a TV show down the road, she's a huge nerd. She basically willed herself into being the character that she played, and she's great at it.
Wow.
But she argues with Kevin Feige, who runs Marvel Studios. She's like, no, MCU is this number. We already have 616.
Oh, that's amazing.
So I think
I love that when the nerds get cast in the movies. That's like Christopher Lee was the greatest Tolkien nerd of all time when
he was like the one guy from the cast who actually had met him, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right, yeah. I kind of love it when that happens. Not to mention things that we don't like anymore, but I think the girl who played Luna Lovegood in Harry Potter movies was also a really big fan and then got herself cast.
Oh,
And I
that's
don't know
cool.
why. I just feel like that's kind of a fun thing to happen.
Yeah,
So
so.
we learned that 084 is an object of unknown origin and that the last one was Mjolnir.
Yes, I have a note on that too. So another number designation
That's
thing.
right. Speaking of numbers.
Yeah, so that's what the second one sort of revolves around. This unknown object they find in this sort of, I guess it's like a temple or
Cave,
cave.
temple,
It's embedded in
ruin.
the wall. And the temple is like only 500 years, but the thing has been there for 1500 apparently.
Yeah.
It's really strange. And then they're confronted by this sort of military operation where, like you mentioned before, Camilla Rays, and she
Camilla.
clearly has a history with Coulson where they've worked together at some point, and you can see there's sort of a chemistry there.
Yeah, some kind of deeper history between them.
And then there's referred to more about the gamma, but also they mentioned Tesseract energy. So they're like, oh, this is, might be tied to Hydra somehow.
Oh,
Because
I wrote this one down. The 084 is fueled by Tesseract technology, Hydra, World War II, Captain America. Like he's trying to jog all of our memories about what that means, which I really
sure.
appreciate. I appreciated it so much that I wrote it down. It was a good line for us. We're trying to learn this stuff. I was like, okay, cool. So Tesseract, we've seen that before.
And then with more of the crazy comic booky energy stuff, there, at one point there's a battle going on, gunfire and stuff, but then Ward grabs this like staff. Well,
Oh,
like he makes it a
yeah.
staff. It's all of a sudden like he extends it into a staff and then he slams it on the ground and there's like a big blue energy
Wave.
blast that knocks
Oh,
people down.
yeah. That was
So
cool.
I don't know if they ever even address what that thing is or where he got it, but
Not in that
more
episode.
cool shield tech, I guess.
Yeah.
Then I have a funny note. I realized it was humorous as I wrote it. I said Reyes turns on Phil, and I realized I could have a double meaning.
Reyes turns on Phil.
Yeah, because
Yeah.
she stabs him in the back and they're trying to take over her little military operation and they tie up all of our little team.
Yeah, it was a great little moment too when he realized it a split second before things started happening. And he goes, oh, something about they're gonna have to take out May or the pilot or something. Your guys are gonna have to take out the pilot. And I'm like, he's like 3 steps ahead of me. I'm trying to figure out what's happening here. But yeah, she and her men, who are, I guess, government, supposed to be national military, right?
I
They're
guess so.
Peruvian government. They don't get too into it. But
Where were
there's
they
a
again? Peru, was it?
they're in Peru. And I mean, they get a little bit into, and I don't know anything about the political history of Peru, so I cannot speak to it. But I just thought it was interesting that they brought a little bit of political, social awareness into it with guys sort of rooting for the rebels until the rebels start shooting at them and going, well, it's cool that they're fighting against the people that are pillaging their land and stuff. And yeah, I can't speak to how that relates to the real world at all, but in general, it was cool that they had the characters be a little bit aware of the little guys in the world that all these
Sure.
superheroes are trying to protect.
Definitely. Yeah. So you see, I guess they drill a hole where May is piloting the thing and they send in some gas, knock her out or something. So that's how they get her, where she's really on top of things and pretty butt kicking, but they got to her because she's focused on the plane and they're
Right.
gassing her. But then when she's tied up with everybody, they're trying to formulate a plan and she breaks or cracks her
She
wrist.
dislocates her own wrist,
Then she
gets
gets out of the
out.
stuff and
It
then
was
puts it back
amazing.
in place.
She
So.
doesn't bat an eyelash. She doesn't wince. Nothing. She just calmly
Yeah, no.
dislocates her wrist. They really show her to be a really badass character. For,
That's
and
a way to do it.
the reluctance, too. It's, I love her performance in this because at no point is she like cocky about it or like, haha, you know. She's very like, okay, I guess I have to do this. And then she does some cool kick-ass thing to break everybody free and move the situation along. But it's always this tinge of reluctance, which I found really intriguing.
Yeah, she's very stone-faced, very stoic, but you see she gets the job done. She has some cool action fight scenes.
And she has one of those classic comic book names with the first letter,
Oh, the
the first name, and
alliteration.
then Melinda May, right? The alliterative
Like Reed Richards,
names.
Peter
Yep,
Parker.
that's right.
And so as this is all going, at one point, a hole gets blown out in the plane, which takes us back to where we were in the beginning. I forget who initiated that, but it was some sort
I
of
do too.
strategy to try to deal with the bad guys on board. And on that note, you see one guy goes out the hole and goes flying out to his demise. I feel like you always have that. There's always a henchman or something to show that there's stakes. Oh, see, someone flew out and died. Oh, if no one died,
Any of us could die here. See, that
yeah,
guy did.
feel like you always see that in these scenes. And then they're fighting, they're hanging on, they're tying themselves up with maybe seat belts or something to hold steady. And in the end, the strategy, someone inflates a safety raft like
It
you'd
was, I
use.
think it was Skye.
I think
She
it
had
was.
a moment of, trust me, I'm gonna, like, she was looking at the safety information card.
Right, she's
There
looking at
was the
the card.
raft. I gotta say, that is the most. It was the most unconvincing. The physics of that could not have worked.
Actually, I wrote my note. Can it really hold up against the pressure? Like,
I know exactly. I was just like, ah, oh, okay, fine. But I
it's
mean, it was a cool idea. It was a cool looking thing they did.
yeah, the
But I'm like,
execution.
that wouldn't happen. Come
Yeah,
on. None
it's
of this
not
would happen, though. So again, we can quit.
exactly. It's not some big
That's
sturdy
not
thing.
realism we're
The
going for
width
here.
of it covers
With the perfect
the
size,
hole,
right?
but
It would
the
have sucked
materials, it
the
would still
middle
be just
right
sucked
through.
out.
Yeah, it's not like
Again,
so strong. It would, yeah, exactly.
gotta
Anyway,
suspend the disbelief.
suspend that disbelief. But yeah, and some more banter between. What was it that they called this cool mega plane? That it's like the bus. Was that it?
Yes,
Get on the bus.
they
Okay,
say
I
she.
couldn't remember, and I didn't rewind it. I meant to, and I didn't. I was like, what do they keep calling it? It's the bus,
That
but it's
May
really
is
this
driving the
super
bus or
cool.
flying the bus.
Yeah, and it's got bedrooms in it. It looks like Air Force One, but with cool tech
Yeah.
and stuff. Use a coaster. There's a little bit of business about a coaster that occurs. It's a cool thing, and they totally bust it,
Yeah, well, then that leads
which
to
leads to
at
the
the end.
greatest cameo of all, which also made me very happy. I don't know. From the moment Nick Fury first appeared in, when did he first appear?
He was the first post-credit scene at the end of Iron Man where he
Right.
hints at the Avengers being a thing. He kind of says, yeah, this is a connected universe. We're going to make the
Right.
Avengers.
From the moment, I just find him awesome. I love his look. I love Samuel L. Jackson's delivery. I'm happy whenever he shows up. I know they're tying it all together. And I liked this post-credit, or I guess it was mid-credits. It was right before the credit. It's right the last scene in the
It was
show
the
before the
wrap-up of the
credit.
episode. These
The
don't
wrap of the
really
episode.
have those same functions of
Yeah, it's not like a
movies.
movie where they have some, you have to wait to the end. But I loved him coming in and just reaming out Coulson for messing up the
He's like,
plane.
look at this thing I got you, this big fancy plane, and you blew it all to
You
hell.
blew it.
And
What the hell? No
then
fish tanks.
there's a joke about that, and then he's like, hey, cancel the fish tank.
Yeah, it was great. It was so, I was so happy to see him. Also, just because I like seeing that very clear tie to, this is the only character that was like in the comic books, right?
Well, yeah, like I said, him and Maria Hill are
Right,
the
Maria.
ones who predate it, where all the other agents were created. Phil was created for the movies, and then the rest were created for this series.
Very
Like
pleasing
I
cameo.
wrote down, he lends some cred, some gravitas
Yeah,
by
that's the
appearing
feeling.
there. He's a big movie star, even
Yeah.
besides the Marvel things. Samuel
Yeah.
Jackson, he's popping up at the end of this TV show. But like you said, yeah, it does tie in. It does make it feel like it's connected. So like I
Right.
said, people question how truly canon it is. But at least at the time, what they were going for, what they're showing is this is all
The
tied
same
together.
universe.
He's the
Yeah.
guy, he runs SHIELD, the show's about SHIELD. It's all part of it.
Right.
So that's what that really goes for there. One more thing I wrote down at one point. They said technically Stark's a consultant. I think Coulson says that when they're talking
Oh
about
yeah.
maybe Sky being a consultant.
Consultant, yep, because they're
But
it's risky that he's brought her in. And it turns out it looks like it really is risky because of that little cliffhanger we
right at
get.
the end, you see her typing a message and she says, I'm in. And it's like,
In
who is
rising
she
tide.
saying to? Who is she talking
Who
to?
is that?
But I just see that line. I'm like, he's with the Avengers. He saved the world. He went into a wormhole and launched the missile to prevent people from blowing up New York. And he's going to be treated
He's
as a
still a
consultant.
consultant after
Yeah.
that?
No,
That is
he's a
kind of rude.
superhero. He's a member of the Avengers. Why? I guess
Justice for Tony.
maybe they just mean because he's not an official SHIELD agent. So he's an outside free agent that works with them. So that's his classification. But does that mean all the other non-SHIELD agent Avengers are consultants? Is Bruce Banner
Well,
a
is it
consultant?
just a
I think.
reference to that they gave him a screening and they said that you passed the
Right, but
test,
I'm just saying
or
I was
Iron Man passed the test, but you didn't, so maybe
right,
he
but I'm
gave
just
him a.
saying I'm just revisiting it now.
Sure.
At this point, following the events of the Avengers, they really want to
It
keep
seems rude to keep
that
him.
designation,
Yeah, I
but
agree. Justice for Tony. He's a full-fledged Avenger. He's the leader at some point.
yeah,
How
him
dare you
and
call him a consultant?
like we said, him and
Him and Cap.
Cap basically kind of co-lead the team. And with that, I've got all my stuff out of the way. I don't know if I have much more to add. We're not
That
doing a
was on
point
my
by
notes.
point breakdown of
I
every.
didn't take as many. I only took a few notes for the second episode, but I do want to know where this rising tide thing is going. So I think I'll let you know when I jump back in
Yeah,
and
sure. Keep
maybe.
me posted when you're watching how many episodes, and we
Yeah.
can get back to it. And even if we don't revisit the show for a while, maybe if you get through the whole season, we can pick up
Yeah, we
the
could do like a
second one where
retrospective.
we do the rest of the season. And then if you want to continue to the next season, we'll take it from there.
Sounds good.
But we'll leave it at that for this. How did you feel approaching a TV show instead? Did it feel at all different? different? Are you happy with
I
the
liked it. I
experience?
mean, and as I am someone who did watch WandaVision just out of nowhere.
That's right. So you
for
have
fun.
Some experience.
So I
with
have a little
Marvel
bit of
TV.
Experience and Agatha All Along, which I loved. So yeah, I felt pretty good about starting it, and I want to know where it's going, I think. So yeah, not bad. I do think I'm ready to jump back into movies, so I assume
Sure.
we're going to
Yeah, we will
visit
do
Thor
the
too.
second Thor next. Thor the Dark World. Now that will truly be our next episode.
Excellent.
And I will keep you posted from there if there are any other interjections and changes of direction. But as of now, wrapping up our introduction to the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show, potential to revisit it. We'll get back. We'll do Thor the Dark World and take it from there. But as of now, thank you once again for joining me on this journey. It's always a fun time chatting about this stuff with you. And as always, I look forward to the next one. So yeah, let's keep at it.
Sounds great. See you next time.
But thanks for listening, everybody. Bye. Zach and Tavy's Marvelous Adventure is produced and co-hosted by Zach Walliner and Tavy Phillips. Featuring Penny Walliner. Edited by Zach Walliner. Theme music by Luis Humanoid. Cover art by Chris Giarusso. If you enjoy our show, please be sure to leave a nice review and subscribe on your podcast platform of choice. And follow us on all the major social media sites and apps at Zach Tavy Marvel. That's ZachTavieMarvel. Thanks again for tuning in. Nuff said.